Hello and welcome to Touchdown, third series of an American football podcast on University Radio Nottingham. No one thought we'd be here, but I'm afraid there's been a slight change. In the NFL, sometimes legends hang up their cleats and a rookie has to come in. Now, at Touchdown, we had quite a late draft pick, but we picked someone, an absolute gem, out of the draft. We've drafted one of the most exciting young broadcasters in the game. He does headbangers. He does mashup. He's going to host a Pulse this year, I'm convinced to it. Jake Longhurst, welcome to Touchdown. How are you, mate?
I'm doing very well. It was a lovely introduction. Thank you very much, my friend. I'm really looking forward to having a great year on Touchdown. As you're aware, I was there last year for only one touchdown, but it was the Super Bowl one. Had a blast. I love American football and I wish I'd got involved earlier. So I'm really excited to get involved for the whole year on this one.
Yeah, it's going to be so exciting. And obviously, we're going to come up with some awards later on in the year for certain players, and April will be remembered. I mean, she hasn't died. She is. She's just moved on to being a proper grown-up, which me and Jake refuse to do.
So, not happening just yet.
No, God, no. I'm doing this in a Tunisia shirt, and you've just had a Monster Energy. So that says the state of us today.
That says enough.
It does. Jake, what is your experience of the NFL? Do you support a team? What's your knowledge base?
So I've seen a fair few games. I've been over to the States and seen a game or two, and my mum actually studied in Michigan at the University of Michigan, not Michigan State. So she's a diehard Wolverine and is a massive Lions fan, which isn't great for her, to be honest. poor my mum. Like, you've got to feel for her, bless. But so I've got a fair introduction to the NFL and have done since I was fairly young. So I think my understanding of the game is pretty high. And yeah, at heart, I'm a bit of a Lions fan too. But I also love the Jets because they were the first team I saw at their home venue. So you can tell I've got a great season coming up.
The Jets and the Lions, two of the possibly the worst teams. If only your dad supported the Cleveland Browns, it would be
a actually, he family. Used to support the Raiders.
Ooh.
Well, in the 70s.
Yeah. Well,
in the 70s, when it was all broadcast, he always watched the Raiders. So the Raiders is a less bad team.
Yeah, they have had some success. Now, because a new host has come in, we're going to go back to basics. We're going to be talking to the NFL for all you new NFL fans. Because let's face it, myself and Jake aren't always up to date with the X's and O's of the NFL. So we're going to break down the big news stories. We're not going to go into too much depth on every single game because simply we don't have the time, and we support Manchester United for Jake, unfortunately. And I support Nottingham Forest, which is going to be an absolute car crash this year following the Bournemouth game. Briefly on that, if you want to listen to more Nottinghamshire-based sports anecdotes, Over the Trump with myself and Kieran Etheridge to follow Forest, Notts County and Mansfield Town. Jake, give a quick plug for something. Go on.
Well, I run URM Mashup, and with any luck, that will be its own full-fledged show this year. I've also been the co-host of Headbangers Hideaway for a year and may well be carrying that on. So if by some absurd reason you also love getting your eardrums torn to shreds, have a listen to my show for a good dose of metal every week.
Yeah, I think the NFL has a lovely relationship with heavy metal.
It really does.
It's rap and heavy metal, the sort of two that come together in my mind when you think of like pre-game, locker room like music.
Bizarrely, the Super Bowl has rarely had metal, if ever. But all the actual games, they always play loads of metal and, you know, metal-esque stuff. So when I saw the Jets versus the Ravens a few years back, it was a very low-scoring game. I think it was 7 points to 3 to the Jets, but it was a Jets win.
Yeah.
And it was loads of Metallica, a little bit of Pantera, AC/DC, stuff like that. So there's a fair connection there between the NFL and heavier music.
Yeah, I think this year we're going to try and delve into American culture a bit more and like the music side of it with Jake, with your knowledge of that. So it's going to be a really interesting, slightly different take on American football. Maybe if we get a live show, we might have some headbangers music. Because I think people can guess I'm not a music person. My favourite song, probably Depeche Mode, Just Can't Get Enough. Listen to Over the Trent for explanations on that. Or the Miami Dolphins fight song, which is an absolute banger, including the T-Pain version. Big shout out to T-Pain. So, Jake, this has gone very quickly off the rails.
As always.
Let's explain the NFL to those new fans. So if you're just getting into the NFL, there's various ways you can watch it. So there's 6 p.m. games every Sunday on Sky Sports. What I like to watch, I'm not sure Jake can tell us after, is Red Zone. So Red Zone is like Soccer Saturday if Sky Sports had the rights to every game and to go to every game. So you see all the touchdowns, all the big news. It's also like that if Cammy was hosting it. It's chaotic. It's wonderful. Scott Hansen. I know me and April have a special place in our hearts for Scott Hansen, the most American man of all time. Mwah. Chef kiss to Chef Scott Hansen. I cannot wait for him to come back onto my screens.
It's a beautiful thing. Red Zone is just, it's everything you want it to be and more. It is just, Soccer Saturday is a beautiful thing in and of itself, but it's as if they looked at Soccer Saturday and thought, we're going to do this, but you know, American football to football, they're very different sports. American football's glammed up. It's bigger, it's bolder, it's brighter. It's, you know, it's blasé. So is Red Zone. It's the American football to football, Red Zone to Soccer Saturday. It just is bigger, it's brighter, it's bolder.
Completely agree. There's also games at prime time. So prime time games include Thursday night games, which again are at the middle of the night, which is an absolute dream if you're a student. Monday night football, Sunday night football, and occasionally there's Tuesday night football, but we won't go into that. That's very, very rare. Don't worry about that.
Let's
break down the NFL game. It is American football. We'll call it NFL because it's a lot quicker to say NFL than American football. That is played on a pitch of 100 yards by a certain amount of width. Every pitch is the exact same. It's not like football where Anfield or Old Trafford are slightly different, in, or even cricket. Let's not even get into cricket with different pitch sizes. It's all the exact same. So 53 players are on one squad. Those squads are broken up into offense, defense, and special teams. Now, special teams is the sort of thing I can imagine Jake being on. And they do the kicking, essentially. That's pretty much it. Kick returns, all that sort of thing. What did the defense do, Jake?
Your defense is, it's bizarrely almost, it's quite rugby-esque, your defensive line, your front line, your line of scrimmage. So for those of you that know your rugby more than your American football, you have what is called the line of scrimmage, which is where the offensive team and the defensive team will line up opposite each other. And there's the front line who are basically just like knelt over, one hand on the ground, shoulders forward, heads up, and they're looking at each other, eyeing each other up. The defensive team is trying to stop the quarterback playing. The offensive team, who the offensive linesmen are almost a defensive team for the quarterback, and they're trying to block the defenders from sacking the quarterback, so from pushing them over, stopping the ball being played. You've also got your wider defenders who are there to, if the ball does get away, they're there to either intercept it, block it, or to catch a player on the run.
Completely smashed it. Well done. First bit of analysis smashed out the park, Jake. Go on. So the best way to describe what we described as wide defenders are almost like fullbacks. They're quick, they're pacey, high jump. Those are cornerbacks or safeties. If you go into the offensive, the defensive line or the front line, as Jake called it, they're the big, hairy, meaty men.
They're your prop equivalent, your hooker. Yep. That's what they do. They'd sit there and they're not fast. They're big. They're your rhinoceros of the team.
So, yeah.
They're the power. They're the powerhouse.
I can't agree more with the animal analogy. The rhino is so right. They are just complete rhinos. Now, on the other side of the ball, as Jake alluded to, there's the quarterback, the offensive line, which are essentially the 180 reverse of the defensive line. They're the guys sort of protecting you. Now, if you've watched Blindside, a really good film, that tells you all you need to know. They're probably paid the second best on the team, because if your quarterback is costing you $40 million, it makes sense to defend your investment by paying the left guard, so the guy who protects the back of the quarterback, $30 million. It's basic economics, really. And then you have really the glory boys, the wide receivers, who just go up and catch balls. So think Odell Beckham Jr. Who's your favorite wide receiver, Jake?
You've named him.
Okay, fair enough.
What a beautiful player. Him in his prime, he made playing for the NFL look like Sunday football. He made it look just so easy. It's honestly, he's glorious. His footwork was impeccable. He was a beautiful player to watch.
Yeah, won a Super Bowl last year with the LA Rams. So with we might talk about the Rams' recent blowout against the Buffalo Bills later if we have time. But yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. is someone you might have heard of. If you haven't, look up that catch, Odell Beckham, and just enjoy yourself. Just enjoy yourself. So the quarterback will either throw or he can pass off to someone to run. Now, this is my favorite position, the running backs. These are a sort of hybrid of sports. This is probably the most, the closest physical being to a rugby player, in my opinion, a rugby union or sometimes rugby league for some of the more dartier players. And my favorite is Larry Zonka from the 1972 season. Of course, you remember him, Jake. Wasn't it a better time? Music was better, all that.
Oh, see, I can't quite say music was better then because it got really good in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, the fair, okay, grunge, okay, fair enough, enjoy yourself. Basically, these guys run headfirst through walls for their team, and that's what I absolutely love. Now, you can have different types of running back, heavy sort of brooding players, or like fast on your feet players. Jake, if you were a running back, which would have you been? The sort of headfirst rhino slash hippo, or the sort of gazelle one?
Let's be honest, Dom, you've seen the size of me. I'm a bit too skinny to be a rhinoceros. So I'd have to be the slightly dartier type, but that's traditionally how I would play rugby. So that fits me perfectly. If I was going to play NFL, I would probably play as a running back.
Now, interestingly, in rugby, now you played rugby to a really high standard, from my opinion. Interesting, you're told to have the ball in two hands in rugby. They very much put it into the crook of the elbow and head down with an arm to hand off. As a rugby fan, and to rugby fans listening, how stressful is that to watch?
It's just agonizing. It is. It's difficult to conceive how different it is, because realistically, the difference is not massive when you're watching it. You've got one player who's holding the ball in two hands and one who's got it in one hand. Big deal. But the difference for a rugby fan is that if you've got the ball in two hands, you've got options. Because at the end of the day, with the ball in one hand, you're going to struggle to get it away. So all you can do is run. Whereas in American football, in NFL, they're not thinking about pass. Their thought process doesn't involve that. They only can run. So if they put it in one hand, they've got that option to hand off more easily. Whereas as a rugby player, if you need to hand off, you put the ball briefly into one hand, hand off and go again. But you've got that ball in two hands because you can constantly flick it one way, flick it the other. If you need to, backwards. Yeah. Or you can put it forwards for a kick. You've got those options. Whereas in NFL, that's just completely different. And it's really, when I first started watching it a lot, it's weird to watch because I know that that's what they're meant to do. But it's still, as someone who's grown up just playing rugby, it's still strange.
Yeah. So with that ball being very much locked in, it does eliminate the pass, which is weirdly legal. You can pass backward in front of the line of scrimmage for your new fans. And they're probably asking, why don't they just sort of work it down like that great Lions try with Phil Edwards and what a score. They can do that. But in NFL, you usually have players in front of you, protecting you, breaking down, sort of blocking is the word. So you can't pass forward after the line of scrimmage. So where the ball goes through the legs, you can't pass forward above that. So it's very, very difficult for someone to pop it down the line, really. But due to the fact it's mostly carried in one arm, sometimes it's wrapped up in very tight situations, there's what we call fumbles, where the defensive team get the ball, tackle without hitting the player onto the ground, the ball is still live, the ball pops out, and it's then a free ball. And that leads to hilarious consequences. Think 1930s Disney films of just everyone doing a pylon.
It's as if you're watching rugby in the 80s when the balls were horrific to catch. They were smooth as a disc and it's wet. And the ball goes onto the floor. Everyone's diving on top of it, but it still happens. Instead of how in rugby, the ball's nice and easy to pick up. You can run straight over it, pick it up, you're gone. In American football, it's still like 70s rugby. Everyone's piling on. And you get massive scrums of people all on top of this ball trying to be the one to hold it at the end.
Yeah. So that brings us on nicely to how you control the ball. So obviously, as you probably know, you can throw the ball, or as we just discussed, you can run the ball. Now, you get four attempts to make 10 yards. If you fail to make those 10 yards, the ball is turned over to the other team. So usually, it's a game on downs. So you have first down and 10. That's always the case. And then it's working out. Is it second down, third down, or fourth down? If you get the 10 yards, you get a fresh set of downs and you're back to first and 10. If you get to fourth down, you have three options. You can go for a field goal, similar to a conversion in rugby, and that gets you
through. More similar to a penalty.
Penalty. I do apologise. My rugby is not the best. You can either go for a penalty slash field goal. We'll call it field goal. Let's keep it simple. Because it's a goal in the field. You can then punt the ball to the opposition, meaning you thus punt the ball to the opposition, and it is then their ball. In a much further away area. Or you can go for it. You fail to make those 10 yards on that fourth play, you've got a turnover and the ball is literally flipped and the opposition start from where you start. There is also interceptions where if the quarterback throws and the ball does not touch the ground and the opposition catch it, it is then their ball and then it's until the player stopped. The player stopped when the players leave the field of play or when a body part, mainly knees, or like I believe it's the sort of underarm area and above
I believe it's your knees and like your torso area.
Yeah, if they touch the ground, the ball is then dead. If you have any questions on American football, please do contact us at @UrN_touchdown. But we're going to go to our regular feature, NFL. So, Jake, N stands for new fans, F stands for sure win, and L is legend of the week. What do you think new fans should watch out for this week?
This week, I'd say if you're a new fan, don't look for anything particular, which counterintuitive necessarily, but I'd say don't look out for anything in particular. Look out for just everything you can. Try and watch as much as you can. Get yourself involved. The more you watch, the more you'll understand.
Yeah.
So get yourself involved, get the telly on, put the American football on and just take it in.
I'm going to go much more flippant on that, and new fans should look out for celebrations, because the celebrations in American football are mad. Isaiah McKenzie on Thursday did a gender reveal after scoring a touchdown for the Buffalo Bills.
That's one of the best I've heard.
Yeah. So whatever it is, doesn't matter. Yeah. Go for the mature answer, Jake. I'm going to go for celebrations. So what was the next one? The for sure win. Okay. That brings us on to the schedule. Jake, is there a game you'd like to talk about?
Honestly, Dom, I've got no one in mind.
Okay.
Well, I'm not looking at any of the games this week.
Okay.
Admittedly, that's partly because I've had way too much on my plate this week. I've had a horrific week.
Yeah, I will. I did spring this on you. And plus, it has just been the SRAs. So I'm going to give you a selection of games for you to choose. Yeah.
Chuck me the schedule and let's have a look who might be interesting.
The Buccaneers, with Tom Brady coming out of retirement after retiring for a grand time of 11 days, will play the Dallas Cowboys. So that's an interesting game. Dallas Cowboys are America's team. Think Manchester United, as most of their success was in the 90s. The Russell Wilson Bowl is the Seahawks versus the Broncos. The Raiders versus the Chargers, a really exciting game there, as Derek Carr versus his divisional foe, Justin Herbert. That's a really good game. Two amazing kits. Powder blue jerseys for the Chargers with bright yellow bolts. Then the Raiders, a dark black with a grey slash silver.
I always love the Raiders kit. It's very me.
Yeah. I think maybe we will go on kit watch later this year if we ever get bored. And then the Cardinals Chiefs is the other big game. And which one of those are you going to go for the for sure win?
Oh, for the for sure win, I'm going to say Chiefs. I think that's a Chiefs win. Like, that should be a cruise.
Yeah, especially when you look at the Cardinals defense, they've just bombed Buda Baker, who's an incredible player. There's no one really there. Now, the Chiefs have lost Tyreek Hill, who's gone to my franchise, the Miami Dolphins. But Andy Reid is this sort of god. Now, Andy Reid isn't the Irish Tottenham and Forest player. He is what I like to refer to as the walrus of the NFL. Just have a look at him and I'll explain. He's the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, and the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs is Patrick Mahomes, who's just an electric player. How would you describe him, Jake?
He's something else. Right now, he's one of the most exciting players in the entire of the NFL, comfortably. Watching him is wonderful. Tom Brady is the greatest player of all time, without a doubt. But yeah. Mahomes is rapidly becoming, I think, the most exciting quarterback to watch.
I totally agree. I'd say, as a baller, Patrick Mahomes is far more exciting than Tom Brady. Tom Brady is almost, has the work ethic of Roy Keane, but as it's less angry, it's fair to say.
And that was part of the excitement with Roy Keane. Tom Brady, when he was at his best, there was no one better to watch ever, comfortably. But he's not at his best, and we're all aware of that. Even he's aware of that.
Yeah.
So if you really want to watch some exciting plays, Patrick Mahomes will comfortably bring them to you, 9 games out of 10.
Totally agree. So that's the for sure win for Jake, the Chiefs against the Cardinals. For my for sure win, I'm going to go the Vikings over the Packers, just because I think Aaron Rodgers has had it. He's simply done out at Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field is this historic, historic ground. Think Fenway Park. Think the Lords in cricket. Think Wimbledon in tennis.
Old Trafford.
Oh,
or like a Wembley. It's stuff like that.
It has a bit more to it, I think, because it is so old and it hasn't changed at all. It's a proper American bowl. It is what you want that sport to be. And I just think he's had 2 more years than any other quarterback has at Lambeau Field for the Green Bay Packers. I just think with the Vikings defense, Adam Thielen for the Vikings, who's their wide receiver of note, looking good. It's a massive rivalry. I'm going to say the Vikings have it.
Also, so let's be honest, the Vikings have real opportunity this year to bring a massive offensive line, I'd say.
Mm.
If they, you know, if they turn up and they properly hold themselves up, they've got a chance for a top 5 offensive line.
Totally agree.
And so, yeah. What is it? They brought on Mitch O'Connell. No, Kevin O'Connell. I'm thinking of the wrong person. But Kevin O'Connell's back.
Yeah.
I reckon with him on board, the Vikings are a threat now.
Yeah. And it's so weird how you'd think we'd be talking about the Adam Thielen, who's this lightning and the only white, great wide receiver. Let's face it. It's really interesting. We could be talking about him, but we're talking about the protection. Protection is so important in the NFL because of the big hits. And you're probably thinking, if you're a rugby fan, oh, they're just wearing pads. That means they can hit from anywhere bar the head. They can't use the helmet as a weapon, but it often gets involved. It's big hits. So that is going to be really interesting. We'll probably...
As you mentioned about the protection, who was one of the best players, if not the best player in last year's Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Big Aaron.
Yeah, it was a big point. Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald is not only one of the best players in the NFL, he's, I'd say, the best offensive lineman.
A defensive lineman,
because he's just so good at what he does. And if you've got a player like that up against you, you can't skimp on your offensive line, because as long as you let a player like that dictate your game, you cannot play, you will not score points. And so you've got to protect your quarterback.
And he worked really well with Ndamukong Suh for the years they were together, because you'd either have to double up on Aaron Donald or double up on Ndamukong Suh, which just left one to be absolutely free reign.
Yeah. There was guaranteed holes in your defensive line, in your offensive line, which meant that one of them would sack your quarterback on, you know, most downs. So they were devastating. And Aaron Donald's still going strong, and he's so powerful and so good at what he does that even though, yeah, he is getting on, but he's still one of the best at what he does. And so without a good offensive line to stop players like that, even an average offensive linesman, you know, an average offensive linesman getting in the way can help, but you've got a really good offensive line, you can make moves. You can start to play the game how you want. You dictate the game.
Exactly. For new listeners, we will help you through your experience. If you just want to watch one game, I'd really suggest watching one game. Picking a franchise is always the best way to get involved in the NFL. Just before we go, I'm going to say Justin Herbert for my legend of the week. I think the Raiders could get torn apart by him. I just think this Chargers team is going to go far. We will do our big predictions next weekend, next week following our first game, because you've got to have a bit of intro, because obviously it's really hard to predict Super Bowl winners, MVPs and all that. And we'll probably name that the April Marsden Award. But yeah, it's been really exciting to have a new host on this show. Jake, been an absolute pleasure. what we'd recommend for you new fans, Monday morning, watch a game or two, pick a franchise. There's so many good franchises. If you want to pick it by uniforms, I'd say the Chargers, amazing uniform. If you like red, go for the Atlanta Falcons, but maybe not this year because they're pretty rubbish.
They're not going to do so well this year.
Yeah, I think maybe don't always go down the winning route. As a Forest fan, I can say that. But yeah, look
for... And yeah, sometimes it's nice to go and choose a team who aren't so good. They'll have a couple of years where they're not great, and then hopefully they'll come back up. But good badge, good kit, good stadium. Yeah. That's enough for me, usually.
If you want help trying to find an American football franchise for you, message us. Yoren_touchdown on Instagram. There's going to be a big announcement of Jake as the new host of Touchdown, which I'm very excited to create. But Jake, it's been an absolute pleasure. Now, I'm going to give you the right to end this first show. End it any way you like.
Well, thank you very much, Dom. It's been an absolute pleasure to join you, and I can't wait for the rest of the year. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of the fourth quarter of this little first podcast. Can't wait to be back with another one shortly. We'll see you soon.
You're not going to keep it locked?
Oh, Dominic, how could I forget? Remember, guys, keep it locked. Keep it URN. Go well.